To the next case, which is Denise R. Sharp versus the Village of Fox Lake. Mr. Neefsey?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
My name is John Neefsey, and I represent the appellant, Ms. Sharp. I did not represent her at the trial level. She filed her appeal as a poor person. I got involved after she had filed her appeal. Basically, when you look at this case, unlike the case that you heard before, where attorney did something wrong in discovery and the client is responsible. Here, as early as November of 04, Ms. Sharp, who's just a layperson and unemployed, was following her case. She filed a motion with the trial judge asking for help, asking either an attorney be appointed, that she be considered a poor person, and the district court never sanctioned the attorney. Now, the actions of the attorney at the trial level, I'm not going to defend. I think there was gross negligence there. But the problem is, you know, at what point, if you look at this, if Ms. Sharp was pro se, even the Seventh Circuit has said that when you have a pro se a person, there's got to be a little extra given to them.
Didn't Judge Pallmeyer give that little extra and then some in this case? The record reflects she was very patient and gave her all kinds of opportunities, dismissed the case, reinstated it.
But, Your Honor, the problem is, in November, the client brought the problem to the judge. And at that point, I think the judge at a point, one, she asked that the attorney be dismissed, that an attorney be appointed. You know, at that time, the court has to consider that there's a problem here with the attorney. Discipline the attorney, do something with the attorney. Twice the client came before the court, even gave the judge a list of all the attorneys that she's interviewed trying to get an attorney. The merit of this case was never questioned. The problem the client was having was brought to the court. I made a reference in my brief about if there was a conflict of interest. There are cases saying that even though the attorney for the client doesn't raise it, even though the other attorney doesn't raise it, the court has an obligation to make the client aware that there's a conflict. Same way here. I think at what point. Doesn't the court have an obligation to protect the due process rights of an individual in front of them? I mean, if the courts don't have that obligation, then let's throw due process out.
No, the courts don't have an obligation to step in and make up for the failings of an attorney who's representing a client.
Well, there are cases to saying that the discipline of an attorney is the obligation of the court.
Discipline is a separate matter. We're talking about a dismissal that occurred here because of a case that was not being prosecuted.
Your Honor,
because of multiple discovery failings. And
Your Honor, even the Seventh Circuit has said, your courts have said, that the attorneys should be sanctioned first. The problem here is the only one that got hurt here is the client, who, as a layperson, did everything. This isn't a situation where the client doesn't follow the case. This is a situation where she actually, on her own, filed motions with the court asking that an attorney be appointed. What I don't understand is, at one point, I think that to make sure that the rights of this individual would be protected, has to consider appointing another attorney or telling the client, I'll give you time to. She asked that she have a right to hire another attorney. I think the court should at least give her time to find another attorney.
She had 7 months, didn't she?
Well, November of 2004
was dismissed in June of 2005.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, but the problem first started in November 2004, and it was in November of 2004 the first motion of the.
What I'm getting at is there was a long period of time when I assume she was shopping around for a lawyer and didn't come up with one. Right?
Well, don't forget this case was only about. I mean, from the time. The problem, it was about a year, so the case wasn't that old, and you're not dealing with a sophisticated person.
Well, wait, what was her job with the Fox Lake Police Department?
She was police officer.
Well, I mean, that's somebody who's a little more familiar with courts and legal process and that than the typical. She's kind of a pro se. She's not pro se light. She's a pro se plaintiff with some knowledge of how the system works.
Well, I think as the lay person, what she did was extraordinary, that she did as much as she did, trying to make sure that her case would be decided on the merits. I don't know what else a lay person could do if they don't have any money.
The biggest problem here is that you're talking about an abuse of discretion, and the judge doesn't abuse her discretion in denying a plaintiff counsel unless a civil case is so complex that it would be impossible for a plaintiff to obtain any sort of justice without a lawyer. And you know that's our case law. And she hasn't explained why her case was so complex that it would be impossible to obtain any sort of justice. So it's such a high mountain to climb here.
Well, this court's have looked at this and basically said, is it fundamentally unfair what happened at the trial level? And I believe, with all the information the trial judge had, it was just fundamentally not fair not to even if she suggested that she went pro se. But if you read what happened, is she kept the trial judge kept giving the trial attorney more time, never addressed the original motion of my client. And eventually dismissed it with prejudice, and then denied the motions of my client. There was no relief at all given to the motions given filed by my client. And if you just look at the actions, this court have always said you look at the fundamentally fair. Was this fundamentally fair? To dismiss without being heard on the merits because of actions by an attorney when the client is trying to do everything to get her case heard on the merits. And I think this is a case that is on all fours where she should have her chance to have her case heard on the merits. Basically, she couldn't get an attorney because she was a poor person. Even this court granted her petition to file as a poor person. She didn't have any money. And I think that the courts have to. The trial judges can't be blind. They've got to look at situations like this and at least make sure that there was fundamentally due process. And I don't believe there was here, Your Honors. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Neufsee. Mr. Koenig, morning.
May it please the court. I think it's disingenuous to fault Judge Pallmeyer for failing to take any action in this case, to have the court control the lawyers, but the principal also controls the agent. Ms. Sharp, in this case, could have any time fired her lawyer. And she was on notice that her lawyer was not complying with orders. I believe it was in November, after the case was dismissed the first time, she came in and said, I want a new lawyer. That motion was continued. Eventually, the case was reinstated, and it was continued for a status for approximately a month, which Judge Pallmeyer said, report to us on your decision whether or not to continue with this lawyer. She was unhappy with the lawyer. She knew the lawyer had some problems. She knew the lawyer was not complying with the court orders. Yet on January 28th, the case was dismissed the second time. The second warning shot was fired by Judge Pallmeyer. And yet, approximately 4 months later, not until May of 2005, is a motion filed. And again, it's filed by Ms. McDonough. And all Ms. McDonough offers on the record is, well, there was some confusion. I thought Ms. Sharp had retained a different lawyer. Keep in mind that this was not a complex case. We were not making any outrageous demands upon the plaintiff or her counsel. We served written discovery, written questions. Tell us what you contend was harassing. Tell us about your case. Give us whatever documents you have to support your case. There was not a complex motion for summary judgment pending. And in June, when Judge Pallmeyer reinstated the case, I think your honors have to consider something very significant. She expressed her regrets, but one thing she said was it would not be fair to the defendants to reinstate this case under the circumstances of this case. In Ball, your honor said, defendants have rights too. Defendants are not second-class citizens. This case, while it was filed in, 2003, involved an incident that was more than 2 years old at that point in time. I would submit we have rights, and we ask your honors to do what's fair to the defendants as well. Put in the balance the omissions, the derelictions, the misrepresentations of plaintiff's counsel. Put in the balance, and that same side of the balance, that the plaintiff herself was aware of what was going on. And put on the other side of the balance a defendant who wants his day in court, a defendant who is accused of all of these heinous acts, albeit in the context of a civil case, a defendant whose lawyer doesn't play hardball, a defendant who's given the plaintiff's attorney every opportunity to have her day in court. And I ask your honors, which side of the balance will that scale tip? For no further questions, your honor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your honors, the one real problem I have with this case is, as I stated before, if this was a pro se, my client would have got more consideration. She did request and filed as a poor person to have an attorney appointed when it was brought to the district court that her attorney was not properly representing her. I don't understand why the trial judge would not at least consider that. There was a meritorious case, and even this court had stated that the district court has a continuing obligation to supervise the members of its bar. The trial judge knows that this attorney is grossly misrepresenting the client. The client has asked, as a poor person, appoint an attorney. I want to pursue my case. Why not at least deal with that and give this person their day in court? I think that's just basic due process. Thank you.
Mr. Nisi, you were appointed, weren't you?
No. I took this when I read the case.
Oh.
No, nobody's been appointed. This court granted her petition to appear as a poor person. And when I read the case, in 30-some years, I've never seen, I think, a basically fundamentally where a person's due process rights have been violated. I took it only because of that. Mm-hmm. Reading the facts, I just couldn't believe that the trial court wouldn't take some type of action rather than just dismissing her case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nisi. Thank you, Mr. Koenig. The case will be taken under advisement.